Seen you locked and changed, didn't ease my pain. Left me feeling ashamed out in the rain. Can't explain the pain, how I stay sane. Don't like the game, will it ever change?
Everyone, I am Dr. Tommy Watson, and welcome to another episode of Resilient Stories Podcast, where we share the grit and glory behind the stories of amazing people like you who have bounced back from adversity and failure to go on to live their best lives on purpose. Today's show is being sponsored by Million Dollar Business Pathway, where we believe everyone has a story to tell and to sell. If you want to learn how to tell and sell your story, go to tawatson.com under the programs and product page and click on the Million Dollar Business Pathway to get yourself started. So folks, are you guys ready for another amazing show today? Joining me, I have the privilege and honor of having a brother on the show who I've watched for many, many years. His music has encouraged me in one of my darkest moments in college. Hold on, a change is coming. Mr. Gary Hines, director, producer, three-time Grammy Award-winning Sounds of Blackness. Gary, good morning, brother.
Good morning, Brother Tommy. Thank you so much on behalf of Sounds of Blackness, man. We appreciate the love, brother.
Man, you're looking great, man. What are you doing over to stay fit, man? You're looking great in that cold weather up there.
Oh, bless you, man. Well, you know, every morning, in fact, not too long ago, hit the gym, and frequently while I'm doing my cardio is when I say my morning prayer kind of thing. So between prayer and sweat, you know, and hopefully a halfway decent diet, by the grace of God does the trick.
Hey, that's what I'm talking about. That's my goal. Yeah. Is you got to get that diet thing going and my working out on a consistent basis though. So again, Gary, it's an honor to have you on. I understand you guys have just been in the process of being nominated for another award that you need people to get out there and vote on. Tell us about that, please.
Yes, sir. Thank you, my brother. We are so honored, Brother Tommy. Just 48 hours ago, Sounds of Blackness were nominated for an NAACP Image Award for our current single called Time for Reparations. And everybody can see the video, Time for Reparations, on YouTube, or check out the single on Spotify or, you know, iTunes, any of those. But it's more than just a song. It's an anthem for the movement for racial justice. And everybody now, it used to be you had to be a member of the NAACP to vote for the Image Awards, but now the general public can vote. You just go to NAACPawards.net, and it's a real easy prompt. And in two or three clicks, you're voting for Sounds of Blackness, Time for Reparations. So please share that with everybody, and we appreciate the love.
That is awesome. Can you give that website one more time, please?
Absolutely. It's NAACP Image Awards. That's all together, NAACPImageAwards.net.
Okay. Awesome.
And that'll take you right to the first thing. What pops up, you know, are all the nominees and categories and all of that. And of course, we're under the recording category, Sounds of Blackness, Time for Reparations.
Yes, folks, get out there and vote. And it is time for reparations, and it's time for our voices to be heard around the country and around the world. So again, I appreciate that. So get out there and support them. Hey, Gary, if people want to get a hold of you, what's the best way to reach out to yourself and Sounds of Blackness?
I'm so glad. As long as we're giving out sites, of course, ours is also very easy. Our website is just soundsofblackness.org. And we're on all the social sites, Brother Tommy, all with our name. So Sounds of Blackness are on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn, TikTok, all just our name, Sounds of Blackness, and it'll pop up. And we'd love to, and we respond back to everybody. We don't have some intern or some machine do it. When you hear back from us, usually within 24, 48 hours, it's going to be a member of Sounds of Blackness, and then often myself.
Awesome. That is awesome. And again, I appreciate you even responding to my request as well. So, you know, Gary, you know, I've been following you guys. Hold On came out, I believe it was 94 when I was in college and was really trying to hold on, struggling with some things there as well. Tell me how things got started with the group. Can I mention this piece here though? Interestingly,
yes.
You guys are one of the few gospel artists because you're coming out of Twin Cities that's really known for Prince, Jimmy Jam, and Terry Lewis, The Time. So you're talking about more R&B, and you guys chose to go the gospel route. Tell us about how that got started and why you chose that route.
Okay, well, a couple of things. You mentioned college earlier. Our roots are at college, my alma mater. Shout out to McAllister College here in the Twin Cities. Yeah, and Here's what happened quickly, just to give you the full background in a nutshell. In 1969, McAllister, which of course is a primarily white institution of higher learning, they embarked on a very ambitious program to conscientiously recruit students of color. It was called EEO, which stood for Expanded Educational Opportunities. And they were very successful in that effort. At one time, there were almost 100 African-American students from across the country on campus and other students of color. And one of the offshoots of that, Brother Tommy, is that the students themselves initiated and organized a number of different groups and activities. There was a political group, which still exists, called BLAC, the Black Liberation Affairs Committee. There was a theater group called Black Arts Midwest. And there was this 50-voice choir called the McAllister College Black Choir. And founded by our emeritus founder, Brother Russell Knighton, a native of Beaumont, Texas. Well, in 1971, Russell asked me on as director, and I was honored. And the vision God gave me, and here's one piece of information that a lot of people don't have, and I understand it. The vision the good Lord gave me was to follow in the tradition of Duke Ellington. Now, that surprises a lot of people when I say that, because we're often labeled as a gospel group, and gospel is certainly at the core of what we do, but actually we are a Black music group. We are very serious about our name, Sounds of Blackness. So in our repertoire, Tommy, from day one, we have had jazz, blues, gospel, hip hop, R&B, reggae, rock and roll, every sound of Blackness. And we say that because it's impossible to give our testimony as a people. You can't appreciate the glory, hallelujah, of the gospel without the pain of the blues. Absolutely. And the history of the spirituals and the complexity of jazz. Yeah. Duke Ellington, a lot of people, well, of course, when we hear Duke Ellington's name, we think of jazz, and we certainly should. But too many people don't know that Duke wrote, recorded, and performed spirituals, anthems, blues, African world beat music, every sound of Blackness. So that template already existed, and we are just following that.
Wow, that is phenomenal. I didn't know the history there myself. So thank you for sharing that with us as well, though.
Sure.
And you know, you've been involved in this for a long time here. And of course, looking at it from a distance, it's great to see all the accolades you guys are getting. It's well-deserved and everything else, though. But watching from a distance, though, For those of us who don't know you close up and personally, though, what's been some of the biggest challenges you have faced over the years in terms of the work you've been doing professionally and just in your personal life? I mean, you're carrying a heavy load and love it, but I'm sure it comes with a price sometimes, right?
Oh, it does, brother. You know, I tell people all the time, you know, never equate popularity with money, with wealth. Okay, yeah. So, I mean, you know, most of my group members, you know, work day jobs kind of thing. You know, it's not something that can sustain us financially. Yours truly, you know, it gets by, you know, on a dime kind of thing, even despite Grammys and all of that. And that's not a complaint. It's a blessing. You know, my football coach, and I know you're a football man as well, but the late Don Hudson used to say that, you know, there's a price to be paid. And I know you know the ramifications of that. So that's everything in life. And so the challenges, you know, are financial and economic, and sometimes even in terms of publicity and promotion with the group. In fact, of late, you know, in the past few years, when we came out with the song Sick and Tired for Brother George Floyd, and now even with Time for Reparations, there were struggles within the industry because people, the radio programmers across the country, Tommy, some of them who I've had personal relationships with over the years, you know, would call me just confidentially and say, you know, Gary, we love the group and this is a banging track and it's right now today's message, but we can't play it because it's too in your face and we think we're going to offend some sponsors. So there's that struggle. So it's always a blessing, but, you know, so another shout out to the NAACP. So despite very little airplay for Time for Reparations, you know, they still bless us with a nomination. But those are some of the challenges and struggles to try to answer your question.
You know, that's pretty phenomenal. And, you know, most of us wouldn't think that well, at some point you've certainly faced that, but that you're still facing that today, though. So when you're hearing things like that, where that your music is maybe too straightforward, too in your face, what are the feelings that come along? I mean, you know, we hear about rejection. I mean, that's part of rejection. I mean, you're a Christian and, you know, definitely rely on the Lord, though. But how does that affect you mostly when you're getting rejected like that?
I won't lie. It's tough. But like I say, Coach Hudson used to tell us two words. He used to say, hang tough. Yeah. You know, but you know, seriously, like your question correctly infers, Brother Tommy, it's difficult, you know, and it's one thing, you know, you write a song, you record it with a group, you know, you put it out and, you know, you pray and hope for the best kind of thing. It's one thing if the radio programmers get back here and say, oh, you know, we love South of Blackness, but we're not really feeling this track. And that hurts kind of thing, but you get it. But it's another thing when they say, man, this is a great track and it's banging, but we can't play it because it'll offend our sponsors. It's like, that's it, like adding the insult to injury kind of thing. So, but you know, by the grace of God, you know, we continue on with it, with the message, because again, especially with these recent songs that we've done in the past 5 years, singles, mm-hmm. Starting with Black Lives Matter, mm-hmm. After Trayvon Martin, and then Royalty, now into Sick and Tired and Time for Reparations. And in fairness to Radio Imbalance, I mean, I get it. A lot of them, they don't know about, you know, that this is Sounds of Blackness 50th anniversary. Sure. Okay, we began in January of 71. And we always did all types of Black music, and we always did protest music. That's in our roots. And I get it at radio, you know, when George Floyd was murdered, radio expected us, you know, Black radio, to come out with another optimistic. Right, let me tell you something that happened, brother. We, Sounds of Blackness, were at, I canceled our rehearsal, which would normally be on a Tuesday night. That first night, because Brother Floyd was killed on a Monday, and right five blocks from where we rehearsed, brother, wow. Right in the heart of the Southside Black community. And I say all this to say this by way of answering your question. We were at the rally and there were tens of thousands of people there, Brother Tommy, white, Black, young, old, red, brown, yellow, every stripe of person. And I'll never forget, there was this young teenage white young lady, and she came up to me and she recognized you in the group. And she, I'll never forget, she said, "Hey, Mr. Sounds of Blackness, you guys are one of my favorite groups. And I bet you're gonna do a song about this, but please do me a favor, don't make it a happy song." And I looked her right in the eye and I said, "Young lady, that will not happen." Wow. And you know what? Right after I spoke those words, Brother Tommy, the good Lord sent the words of the late, great sister Fannie Lou Hamer into my mind, Sick and Tired. They just kept, and I was up two nights writing that song, Sick and Tired. So protest music is not new to Sounds of Blackness, but to radio, who you know, just knows optimistic and hold on and so forth, this, to them, it was an aberration. So I understand that in fairness to them, but this is not an aberration. It's always been in our roots.
And that's amazing. And, you know, given that you were so close to the George Floyd situation, I'm very familiar with that area as well, as I used to live
right
in the University of Minnesota area as well, though.
Yes.
What was it? How did that, you know, because the world watched from a distance. I live in Charlotte, North Carolina now. Tell us about what you were feeling when you were there that night, knowing that a guy, a man who had just lost his life.
At the
police, how did that feel to you and your group members? You were there on the front lines.
Yeah, the front line, brother. And it was a potpourri, a mixture of emotions. You know, the Bible talks about righteous indignation, and just anger. I hadn't felt that level of anger since. And I remember as a kid back, and I'm a native of Yonkers, New York. I remember as a kid when the four little girls were killed, blown up in the church in Birmingham. You know, you could literally feel the anger of Black folks in the air. And I had not experienced that level of frustration and anger since that time. So there was anger and righteous indignation and frustration. Because the other thing, Brother Tommy, that really was apparent was, and everybody was talking about this, that George Floyd and his murder, his lynching, really represented something that has happened in one form or another to Black folks for 400 years. Mm-hmm. And it's like now still going on. And all the times, you know, that we were said that we were being sensitive and this isn't going on. And this is post-racial America. Right. Well, now it was live and in person, you know, thanks to somebody's iPhone that the whole world can see. And like you, I'm so glad you mentioned that it became an international event. Sounds of Blackness are blessed you know, with some fans, some followers, literally around the world, Europe, Asia, Africa, South America. And we got emails from them. We got calls from them. They led protests, some of those groups. Dusseldorf, Germany, 20,000 people. Osaka, Japan, 15,000 people kneeling in the street for George Floyd. Yeah, so there was a host of emotions, my brother.
Yes, and that is phenomenal. And as you guys have been doing a lot of your more recent tracks, what's been the hope that you guys have been trying to display? Or what are you trying to bring to light with a lot of your new music? You know, reparations and sick and tired. Mm-hmm. What the great messages? What is the ultimate outcome that you're hoping to that these songs will actually do for, you know, for our world and our society? Because absolutely,
right.
Black people, but we know that when Black people heal, the world heals as well, because there's been so much
that's right
that's been done to us, you know. So
yeah,
what's your ultimate goal that you're trying to achieve with some of these songs?
Oh, great questions, my brother. And you know, we first and foremost, and we say in our primary goal in Sounds of Blackness statement, our primary goal is to glorify God and inspire people of all backgrounds through Black music. Yeah. So even with the protest songs, you know, there's, again, you know, righteous indignation is scriptural. So anything we do is about glorifying God and uplifting people. Sometimes you uplift the people by letting them know what's going on, you know, by banging the drum and sounding the horn and telling the history. So that's what these songs are really doing. But it's really, even within the songs, like in Sick and Tired, you know, the theme, the chorus is Sick and Tired, but it goes on to say, we just can't go on this way. We've got to make a change. Together we can make a brand new day. So there's always hope, even in the midst of the turmoil and the struggle. And that's what we try to do musically. The great Paul Robeson once said that all true artists have a responsibility to their people, and Sounds of Blackness take that real seriously.
That is phenomenal. And I'm glad you guys are doing it. It makes such a big difference. And you know, as you keep talking about the music piece though, we talked about the George Floyd situation, but Minnesota was struck by a tragedy, another tragedy years before that. And I understand you had a pretty good relationship with the artist Prince. I worked at his nightclub as a bouncer when I was in college as well, though. As that tragedy happened, tell us a little bit about your relationship with Prince and how, you know, losing him impacted you as well.
And it still does, my brother. You know, I was blessed to be a friend and brother of Prince for the better part of 40 plus years. Wow. And let me tell you this, we went to the same junior high school and the same high school, not at the same time. You know, I was ahead of him, but Minneapolis Central and Bryant Junior High School, which is now Sabathany Community Center and has been for several years, but Prince attended Central and Bryant, and I'll never forget my senior year at Minneapolis Central, and the schools are just, as you know, are just a few blocks apart, or were just a few because they've Central has been torn down. But my senior year in high school at Central, I started hearing these rumors about this dude down at the road at Bryant Junior High School who was a beast on every instrument, you know, and, you know, as they say, the rest is history. Uh-huh. But we knew and loved and worked with Prince. I performed with him since the 70s, man, you know, and I'm dating myself, but I'm blessed and proud to do that kind of thing. You know, he was a close friend and brother, a huge supporter of Sounds of Blackness, put us on the Batman soundtrack album, you know, with him and in the movie that when the first Batman with Jack Nicholson was Joker and all that kind of, I mean, so he is always, has never forgotten his community. Or had never forgotten his community. He gave, oh my goodness, just so generously and on the low, did out of the glare of the lights to community centers and some of our schools, Seed Academy and Friendship Academy, all that. I mean, and I'm talking about, you know, hundreds of thousands of dollars. I mean, just supported our community but on the condition that it not be advertised or whatever kind of thing. So, you know, in many late night conversations, you know, with him, performing, recording, a lot of fond memories. You know, he was, two things about Prince. He was a jokester and a prankster. Well, three things. One, he was a joker and a prankster. The other is he loved all people of all kinds, but he had an unapologetic and a special love for Black folks, and would be a lot of times the media downplays how Afrocentric he was, but trust me, you know, he was down with the Blackness kind of thing, and the way he supported us. The other thing that a lot of people don't know, I think you would probably know, being an athlete, is he was a heck of an athlete. I wanted to say
that more poignantly,
but especially basketball. And one of the his favorite things to do was out at Paisley, you know, he had a, you know, a hoop, a basket kind of thing. Huh? And, you know, everybody, you know, the big athletes and movie stars, when they would come to Minneapolis, they would visit Paisley Park. And so one of his favorite things to do, you know, when he was showing them around, you know, especially some of the jocks, you know, he'd say, you want to do a little one-on-one. and they laughed because they didn't know. It's like this little dude, and he would take them to the hole, you know. just fast as reader. So great athlete, great human being, and lots of fond memories. It's still surreal that he's not here.
Wow, that's incredible. What's your greatest memory you had with Prince? What's your best memory, greatest memory?
You know what? We were blessed to do a lot of big things with him. I mean, open up the Love Sexy tour, and like I say, the Batman album. We did big things. But I think the fondest and most poignant memories, to answer your question, Brother Tommy, are probably the smaller things. That he would. Here you go. So he would routinely call at 2 and 3 in the morning, like it was noon, like it was mid, you know, high noon. Never asked, did I wake you, whatever. And he had a couple of quirks about him. And for all the 40 years I knew him, he would almost always call me like by both names. So 2, 3 in the morning, phone rings. I said, okay, I think I know who this is. And he would say, Gary Hines. I was thinking about Sounds of Blackness, Gary Hines. He would say your full name kind of thing. But he never missed anything. One night we had been out at a club, you know, that he loved called Sheik's. And I never forget, I had met this young lady, and I must say, brother, she was really fine. Uh-huh. And Prince was there, and you know, but he was, you know, over in his corner kind of thing. But this ad boy called me up at 2 or 3 in the morning, and you know, I was like, Gary Hines. I said, hey man, what's up? I always called him Maestro. So what's up, Maestro? He said, that one young lady you were dancing with, she was really fine, Gary Hines. So he was just letting you know he didn't miss nothing, you know, kind of thing. And I know that seems like what, of all the things, you remember that, but you know, it's sometimes the funny, quirky stuff like that, that endears you to, you know what I mean?
Yeah, absolutely. He was paying attention to the small things. Absolutely. You know, so when you heard about his death, how did that impact you?
At first, man, again, it was just surrealistic, is the first word that comes to mind, because I'll never forget, man. First I started getting, some texts kind of thing, you know, that, and my first thought was, oh, okay, here, this is one of them old wives tales, you know, in about 20 minutes, this is going to go away and we'll find out, you know, it's just a hoax, whatever. But then, man, I got a call from Sheila E, you know. And oh my God, and as articulate as she is, she was so, I could barely understand what she was saying, you know, and then at that point I knew, you know, that it was really true. And so I was just stunned, man. And you know, we all have been through those different stages of death and bereavement, you know, the shock, the disbelief, the frustration. And then, you know, the final acceptance, and then dealing with the absence and the hurt and the pain. But initially it was just kind of surreal, man. And like I said, but when Sheila called, it's like, oh my God, you know, this is really, really happened.
Right. Well, that's so painful.
Yeah.
Again, I appreciate
it. Yeah, it still is.
That intimate moment there as well, though. So, you know, Gary, we're coming off a year where people have, they've lost finance, they lost material possessions, they lost loved ones. Many of them have probably even lost hope. What words of advice can you give those folks out there listening to let them know that a better day is going to come and to hold on? What can you tell those folks?
Absolutely. We want everybody to know, Brother Tommy, that hold on, change is coming are not just lyrics for Sounds of Blackness. That's life experience. That's testimony. We've lived that and we know that it to be true, and that the darkest night precedes the brightest days. You know, that's not just poetic. That's a true story. If we just hold on, the old folks used to say, hold on just a little while longer, everything's going to be all right. You know, because without faith, it's impossible to please God. I know you know that. I know you know that that's scriptural. But even the people that are not people of faith, if you just endure and look at the history and legacy of our ancestors, what we're going through now is, you know, as difficult as it is a drop in the bucket to what they endured and went through, and they persevered. So look to their example. And since they can not only survive, but thrive, then we can do the same.
Absolutely, man. You're talking about some phenomenal words, folks out there. Hope you guys have been very, very encouraged and motivated by Gary Hines' story today, man. Incredible guy. Sounds of Blackness, amazing group. You got to vote for those folks. Hey, Gary, we talked about some tough stuff. You ready to have a little fun?
Sure.
All right, this portion of our show is called our rapid fire purpose questions. I'm gonna ask you some questions about purpose. I want you to give the audience your most concise answer. You ready?
Yes.
All right, Gary Hines is in the hot seat. Here we go. Gary, what gives your life meaning?
God.
What one word best describes you?
Determined.
Good one. I like that. What problem do you want to solve in our world?
Injustice.
Oh, good. What was your favorite thing to do as a kid?
Play my bongos.
Okay.
That was my first instrument. Yeah.
That's what I'm talking about. What do you wish you had more time to do?
That's a good one. Probably to watch movies.
Okay. Good one.
Yeah.
Yeah, good. What does your 15-year-old self imagine you'd be doing right now?
Being a lawyer.
Oh, really? Okay. That's a good one.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Who inspires you the most?
Well, I'd have to say Duke Ellington.
Okay, good. Good answer. Good. Love it. What's something about yourself we might be surprised to learn about you?
Let's see. My favorite artist of all time is the Godfather of Soul, James Brown.
There you go. You can't get too much better than that, huh?
No, sir.
What's on your bucket list to do within the next year?
To make it back, travel back to Africa, the motherland. We've been blessed to go once. We need to get back. Sounds of Blackness.
I love it. I love it.
Yeah.
What's something you'll spend your time doing no matter what?
Working out.
Okay, good, good.
Mm-hmm.
What do you want your grandchildren to say about you someday?
That he lived his life for others.
Yeah, good. If you were a superhero, what would your superpower be?
what superpower would I want? What?
What? Either one. What would it be? What would you want? Yeah.
Let's see. Probably to fly. Okay. Superman.
Okay. Where you want to, absolutely.
Yeah.
What sparks your creativity?
World events.
Okay, good.
History, yeah.
Well, good answer, yeah. If you became president today, what law would you pass first?
To end the homelessness and hunger.
Oh, good one. I love it. I love it. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
If you could follow someone around for a day, who would it be and why?
I would say, still my president, Barack Obama.
Okay, absolutely.
And, because he is as Denzel would say, Denzel Washington would say, my man. You know, he just is that. I mean, he is amazing, a phenomenal brother, but still, Chicago street dude in him, all that in a bag of chips.
Yes, and just a down-to-earth guy and just a great, great role model for all of us, absolutely.
Yes.
What do you love to do for others?
Inspire them.
What's been the best compliment you've ever received?
That I helped someone either come to know the Lord or get closer to him.
Oh, yeah, that's good. I like that. Good. What's been the one thing you have never been afraid to do?
Good question. I'd say to promote Sounds of Blackness music, this against all odds.
Oh, yeah. I love it. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
What moment from your childhood are you most proud of?
Probably marching with the all-black American Legion Drum Corps, Samuel H. Dow, back in Yonkers, New York, my hometown.
Okay, awesome. I love it. Shout out to Yonkers there. I love that. Okay.
Yes.
What does success look like for you?
Okay, we still there?
Yes, sir.
What is okay, sorry about that.
That's okay.
Mm-hmm. Success for me is about helping people and uplifting people. If I've done that, you know, in the words of Martin Luther King's favorite song, if I can help somebody along the way, then my living shall not be in vain.
That's right, absolutely. What are you most grateful for?
Wow, life, health, and strength.
What's been the biggest lessons you've learned in life?
That more than being human beings having a spiritual experience, we are spiritual beings having a human experience.
Yes, that's a great lesson learned. And last but not least, Gary Hines, how do you want to be remembered in history?
You sound like Prince saying my full name. I know.
Sounds of blackness. Right.
I would want to be remembered in the words of the poem of Langston Hughes, which is, you've taken my blues and you've gone. And the end of that poem says, but someday somebody's going to stand up about me and sing and write plays about me, black and beautiful. It'll be me, I reckon. Yep, it'll be me. So I've even told people I want that on my tombstone.
That's what I'm talking about. I love it. Gary, you survived, man. Give yourself a round of applause. Awesome job. Awesome job, brother.
Thank you, boss.
Hey, folks. Gary Hines, Sounds of Blackness, 3-time Grammy Award winning group, and they're up for another NAACP award. Gary, tell the folks one more time if they want to get it, how they can get out there and vote and support, vote. Tell them how they can do that, bro.
Thank you. Thank you so much. Yes, please just go to NAACPImageAwards.net, and it's like a 60-second job. It'll take you right to recording, and Sounds of Blackness are in the gospel song category, and to vote for us. And we appreciate that. Please share. We've got an e-blast online, you know, that has the web address and all that kind of thing.
Awesome. You'll be getting my vote today as well. So I will definitely be doing
Thank
that.
Thank you.
Absolutely.
Thank you, brother.
I'm going to wrap things up here. There's two things that our show centers on: purpose and resiliency. What last words can you leave our audience with around purpose and resiliency?
I would say purpose and resiliency, brother, are my way of coming at that would be to say that for everyone to remember that history equals humanity.
Yes.
And you might say, what does that have to do with resiliency? I get asked all the time, and even going back to like George Floyd and all that situation, what can we do? I mean, asked by white, black, what are young men, women, young, old, what tangibly can we do to make a really finally make a difference this time? And my answer surprises a lot of people because I say, become a serious student of history. And the reason I say that history equals humanity is that no matter what else you do, you can have program after program, throw dollars at it, whatever, but to finally really bring about justice, we cannot see each other as equals, Brother Tommy, if we don't know our history. It's, in fact, the formula for seeing each other as less than equal is not knowing the contributions of my people to your life. Absolutely. And to the world, no matter how good your heart is. And I tell a lot of my white friends this, no matter how good your heart is, if you don't know what I've contributed to the world and to your life, you are even subconsciously going to see me as less than. Absolutely. But if you go to African history and learn of the great kingdoms and our contributions to the world and to America and African-American history, you'll be overwhelmed and you can't help but see us as equals.
Yes, I love it. Great words. Know your history, know that we're bringing a lot to the table. And folks, Gary Hines from Sounds of Blackness, love you. Thanks for joining us. Hey, folks out there, if you are someone who has a resilient story, we want to hear from you. Please go to tawatson.com, share your story with us. Also, subscribe to our podcast, Resilient Stories. Download this episode, rate it, share with your folks on social media. Everyone else out there, God bless.
Yours truly, everyone. Dr. Watson.